I tell my doctoral students, for example, that more than half their education to become PhDs will happen outside the classroom. You can take classes from here to the moon, and it will not make you a PhD, an independent scholar, teacher, and active professional in your discipline. Engaging in research projects, attending and presenting at conferences, being part of study groups, collaborating with others, and especially, of course, completing a dissertation are where you really learn to become a scholar. I tell my doctoral advisees that their education starts all over again when they begin the dissertation. And consequently, for us, supervising dissertations is one of the most important, difficult, and time-consuming things that we do. But this is also where tomorrow's professors and researchers come from. And producing tomorrow's scholars from around the world is a major aspect of this university's mission and identity. Beyond this, there are aspects of professional conduct like ways of presenting yourself in writing or in person, crafting a CV or a cover letter for a job application, making it through a job interview, getting your first article published. None of this is learned in classrooms, but they have everything to do, again, with who gets jobs and who does well in them. Most of us spend hours and hours with our advisees discussing such issues and helping them through their mistakes. Many departments operate seminar series or brown bags for faculty and advanced doctoral students to present their work. These events build community and offer students an invaluable opportunity to see and participate in the processes and the mores of scholarly debate in their fields. These too are teaching moments. In summary then, one way to think about this issue is to separate, broadly speaking, academic training and subject matter mastery from professional socialization and the tacit knowledge of what constitutes successful practice in the field. Both are essential. The first is largely learned in classrooms. The latter is largely learned outside them. The first can be measured and evaluated in certain ways. The latter is very difficult to measure or evaluate. But in most fields, the first is insufficient. Without the original text said, it's mostly useless without the latter. All faculty understand this difference, and with your help, maybe we can help people in the state legislature and the wider public understand this too. Thank you for this opportunity. Do you have questions? Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned is internships.
Yeah.
Internships in the role and mentoring. And,
right.
Can you talk a little bit about faculty's involvement in helping find internships for students that are complementary?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think it really differs widely in different professional fields. In education, my field, obviously the internship is usually in the form of a student teaching assignment or working as in an administrative capacity in some transitional field. In other cases, working with partners even in the private sector, you know, we have to work very hard to give students I don't want to get theoretical about this, but as a philosopher, it's hard not to. I think that there is, in my comments and in this whole idea, a whole notion about how certain kinds of learning happens. And there's, in fact, a whole research literature about apprenticeship learning and the different kind of learning that takes place through the actual participation and observation, learning through modeling, through making mistakes, that takes place in these sort of apprenticeships that really can't be done in a classroom. It can't be done by reading a book, as I said. What we sometimes say, it's learning by doing, not learning by telling, to simplify it greatly. And I think it's a major responsibility of faculty, not only to help with placement of these things, but then to help those students integrate those experiences with, I'll say, the book learning or the more scholarly learning that's been taking place in their classrooms. I don't want to dichotomize them. They're both important and they need to be brought into connection with each other. But sometimes people think that this is the whole point of this talk, that it's only the work that you do in the classroom that's really important. I really do think that one is mostly useless without the other. Joyce convinced me to say insufficient, but I think mostly useless is a more engaging way of putting it.
Nick, I might just respond to the point about the state legislature and
other
major constituents. And I'd say that we've been individually and collectively very resistant to efforts by others to position the academic leadership as fat and happy.
Right.
And tried to make many of the points that you've reflected on in your discussion and gone broader than that.
Right.
I think we were aided in our capacity to mount those arguments over the last couple of years, because those constituents were aware that the university was facing furloughs, frozen salaries, and layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as we've tried to take costs out of the central core, redistribute them to the academic mission, we're going to enter a period of raises and expansions and additions to our staff, and there's going to be greater scrutiny and review of, you know, the folks who work here.
Sure.
I think at some point we need to fill the vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
It says, how do we measure success?
Sure.
And you know, I don't think that's something that the board perhaps should impose on everyone, but I think I don't think we can have a vacuum forever.
Absolutely.
And to the degree that you all can help us identify models,
right,
and some of the other states that have attempted to do this, that would be a welcome addition.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think, speaking for other Senate leaders, I think we understand the hard work that you're doing, that President Hogan is doing, in pushing back against these misunderstandings about what university work and life is all about. And we're very grateful to all of you for your advocacy for us. And I think, again, I think, speaking not only for myself but for others, I think we understand that the reciprocal responsibility that we have is for a certain kind of accountability. We are public employees, you know, and the state is going through difficult economic circumstances, and I think we all have to do better at showing and justifying the value of what we do. You know, my plea would only be to use complex and careful measures of accountability and not simple-minded ones. And I don't think I need to convince anybody in this room of that, but I think the danger is that there's a tendency to say, if you can just measure X or Y or Z, that's sufficient. And I think, you know, a full-fledged notion of accountability, I think, would have to include some of these other dimensions of things that we do that are very important.
Totally agree.
Sure.
And I think if we could get that complex assessment, we'll figure out how to package it up.
We will be happy to work with you in doing that. As I said, I think we understand the changing times that we live in, and I think I think that accountability is important for all of us. And I think faculty accept that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We have no public comment session today. Sometimes those are interesting and useful comments, but we are running out of time. I hope to inform everybody that our next meeting will be in Springfield on Friday, December 2nd. Then we're going to meet again in Chicago on Wednesday and Thursday, January 18th and 19th, for a mid-year retreat and board meeting. And then we'll be back here on Thursday, March 15th in Urbana. And I guess the December meeting was originally scheduled to be in Urbana, but it's going to be in Springfield. The good news for all of you is that the meeting is coming to an end. The bad news for all of you is we need one more executive session to talk about university employment, appointment-related matters. I think after that, there'll be no other public session. We'll end it as best we can, and there'd be no reason for everybody to stick around. So at this point, it would be great to have a motion to have that session. Is there a motion? Oh, I think I said that.
I said it.
Second. Second.
Lawrence and Ed are.
Sure.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. So we're going to stay in here.
No.
Oh, we're going to go back into the room.
Michelle, can I give this to you?
Hey, would everybody fill out this form before they leave? Please. Takes.